He's continuing his, what was your topic this morning, Bob? I couldn't make any of it.
Worship.
Yeah, and Christina's going to be starting on the 18th, and she's going to be going through the book of James. So excited about that. So your last is March the 4th.
Right.
I'm going to be gone the 11th, but I'll share more about that later. I'm going to be going to Carolina. Joe Lyons is going to be here ministering. But she's going to start on the 18th at 9:45, and she's going to be going through the book of James, so I'm excited about that. Christina's very capable, and so that will be good as well. I do want to share some this morning. I feel, actually, with what we have, it's one of those mornings. I was talking to Pete before service a little bit. It's funny. A church our size, if everyone shows up, it can be kind of full, and then if not, it can be very intimate. And I look at it as like an intimate group, and I feel like some stuff I'm going to share. Something that I shared on almost a couple years ago, and some of you probably weren't here for that. But I have some stuff I feel like it's going to speak to some folks in here actually this morning. I feel confident about that. So I feel like this is the Lord. We've been going through the Tabernacle of Moses, and just a quick recap for you. Amen. Quick recap for you. We spoke, first of all, this was when it got to the giving part about a month ago. Everything in the tabernacle was given. The people gave so much. They had such a generous heart, a generous spirit, that they had to say, whoa, we've got too much money here. We've got too much supply to put off. And so a generous spirit was given from that. We went through the gate. In other words, the gate, he's wide and for all to enter in. We talked about the altar, the brazen altar, the first part we come to. Bill, if you have that picture up, you can just pop it up there anytime of the tabernacle. Visual aid helps, and I had that last week. The first place we come to is the altar, and we spoke about that, the sacrifice. There's the laver. We're talking about that today. Now, Lord cut a covenant with us, and we went through that about how in those times, if you're cutting covenant and saying covenant with someone, it seems a bit archaic for us today in 2018 in America. But what you would do is you would take your biggest and your best, and you would slaughter it, and they would shed the blood for their forgiveness of sins. And we spoke about the benefits package and how the Lord's forgiven us of our sins, but he's taken on so much for us as well as a benefits package. And so he took my shame, my sickness, my frailties. He's done everything as new creations in Christ. I don't have to live that way. And we spoke about that some. Last week we spoke going on again about the daily responsibility they had daily, how the Lord lit the fire. And I enjoyed that hymn this morning, Pete. I'd never heard that before. And I told Pete this morning he should cut a little album of his hymns, because he has so many hymns I've never heard in my life, and I appreciate those. But how the Lord lit the fire, but it was the priest's responsibility to keep the fire going. Sons and daughters of God, we have responsibility, right? And often we can say, well, hey, I'm born again, I'm saved, you know, I'm going to heaven. But as ambassadors of Christ on this earth, we have responsibility, all of us. He puts that on us. And we talk some about the will of God and how God works and operates within our hearts and our lives. And a quick recap of that, if you weren't here, I'd actually advise listening to it. The will of God is not so much, there's different verses in the scripture, and it talks about the will of God being a state of being where we're at, who we are. Sometimes when we get all out of whack in here, we can step out of the will of God, but not the will of God in our hearts, who he is. And so as we're walking in unison with him, we're those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And as we're walking in unison with him, he leads and directs us, and there's a peace that comes with that. Okay? So I'm going to talk this morning. We go into the brazen laver, and that's going to be the next picture, just so you can get a picture of it. Visual in your mind. And by way of recap as well, there's tons and tons of chapters and verses. If you read the book of Hebrews, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, I think it was Paul, but whoever you think it was that wrote that book, they draw so much comparing as we are as New Covenant believers to the Tabernacle of Moses. And if you read the Tabernacle, if you understand the Tabernacle of Moses and you read the book of Hebrews, you can connect the dots so much and see how it speaks of who we are as believers. So this morning, if you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 through 21. I'm going to share a few things with you this morning. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 through 21. Verse 17, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, You shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze, for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar." So you see right there, the tabernacle of meeting was the most holy place, and the altar was where we just came from. So it's right there in the middle. It's the next piece you came to. It says, "And you shall put water in it, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So shall they wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to his descendants throughout all their generations." There's another verse, you don't have to turn there with me, I'm going to get to it later, but it's in Exodus 38, verse 8, it's important later on. And it says, "He made the laver of bronze and its base of bronze for the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting." That's important later on. I'm going to modify what I have somewhat and just kind of speak to some central issues for some of us in here this morning. First and foremost, just a recap of what the brazen laver was. You can see it here. The central sole purpose of it was for washing and for the priest. And Sandra Berman was here last week. They're on a cruise now. Lucky them, a Caribbean cruise. It's a great time to do that. And she came up. She always has a knack for coming up and sharing stuff that I had in my notes and I didn't share. All of us as New Covenant believers are priests unto God. Okay, so we can read this and apply as priests of God. This was specifically for them. They had to go in and wash. Before they could go in to do ministry in the tabernacle, they had to wash their hands and their feet. And so you can imagine, they just came from sacrifice of blood at the brazen altar. Next they come, and they have to wash themselves. Also with their feet. You can see there, the bare feet. And so on the floor there, the tabernacle, it wasn't carpeted, it was just bare earth. And so your feet get dirty as well. So you wash your hands and your feet before you do ministry. Every time they went in, every time they came out, they would wash. Okay? That's important. Talking about what the water of the Word of God is and the washing as we go through. Real quick, just a picture of who Jesus is. Jesus said in John 4, verse 13, it says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." Remember, he was speaking to the woman. "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life." And Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come after me and drink," in John 17. So he is a picture of the water, and the Word of God is throughout Scripture. If you read it, it's a picture of the water. It's the picture of water and the Word of God. I'm going to combine some scriptures in a minute. In Ephesians chapter 5, just bear with me for a minute. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, we read this when I went through Ephesians. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word of God, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle." So the washing of the water of the word of God. There's also a passage in James I'm going to look at later. It says about looking in the mirror of the water of God. The water throughout Scripture is a cleansing process. It speaks with the word of the Lord and who he is. There's a passage in Ezekiel 36. He says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you at salvation." Jesus said in John 15:3, it says, "You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Let me just cut it this way to get to the point, because there's so many different verses. I'm a Bible nerd, so I like to gather as many verses as I can for stuff. But when you go, there's a connection between the blood and the water throughout Scripture. When Jesus was on the cross and was pierced, what came out?
Water.
Blood and water. Okay? Blood shed on the cross, water came out of the side. So blood, and if you look in John the Revelator captured that. If you look in 1 John, he says we're saved by the blood and the water. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. In the tabernacle of Moses, we come in. The first thing we hit is the blood. It speaks of the blood of Christ, right? And next thing we do, we come into the water, right? Okay? So as we come in to meet God, I say it this way. I'm going to cut to the chase. I'm washed in the blood. If you're faithful and just, confess our sins, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness with his blood, 1 John tells us. But I'm also washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm cleansed by the blood. I'm I'm made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. We spoke about that. So when I come to the Lord and apply His blood to me, I am clean. Amen? I'm a new creation. But I'm daily to keep myself clean through the washing of the water of the Word of God. So I'm made clean by the blood. I stay clean through the water. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing process. It's a one-time deal. Yes, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm a new creation. But I also have to daily, as the priest did, and there's other scriptures as well, wash myself in the water. I'm sanctified. Sanctification, I think you spoke about this a couple weeks ago, Bob, in your class. I don't know if you mentioned it at all at this part. Sanctification is a once and for all, and it's also a progressive work of God. And so I am sanctified, 1 Corinthians tell me, but I'm also to continue to be sanctified through the washing of the water of the Word of God. I'm on a journey with God, right? And I'm constantly growing. I'm constantly maturing. And if I'm not washing myself, I remember I used to have a job when I was in college, and I worked in the warehouse. We moved farm equipment all over the world. It was a grunt job, back when I had more meat on my bones, and I could handle it. And I went in, and we would move all the stuff, and it was a warehouse, and it was good guys I worked with. I enjoyed it. But when I got home, what do you think I did? I had to take a shower because I picked up stuff on my body throughout and I was filthy. Okay? There's a comparison with that in our spiritual life as well. If I live and I never take a shower, if I never wash myself off, you don't want to be around me. I'm dirty, nasty, and I stink. In the spirit, there's a similarity in the spirit that we have. It used to confuse me. Let me share a story with you. I was listening. Bill Johnson shared one time, and this is when I finally started to, okay. He was sharing how he was going to go minister at a conference, and he goes, this is a guy, he's a pastor, he preaches at conferences all over. And he was there, he got to his hotel room late, and he went, he was exhausted from travel, sat down, turned the TV on, and he said the first channel he said came up, it was a pornographic channel. I said, oh no, turn it really fast. The next channel is a pornographic channel. Oh no, turn it right off. And he said, right when that happened, he said, I did not give myself to that. I didn't look, but I felt dirty. He said, I didn't sin, but I felt dirty. I remember when I was, especially in my college years, I used to get confused with this. And I could be around, basically the guys I lived with in different areas, in different things. And I was living upright, pure before the Lord. But sometimes just to be in certain environments, in certain areas, in certain arenas, and things, just even could be going out to eat in a certain scenario, I would have the sense, your spirit's alive unto God, so you can pick up a lot of stuff. I would have the sense of, Lord, I don't feel quite right. Has anyone ever had that before? I don't feel quite right. And I would start saying, Lord, where did I miss? Lord, I know, I should start naming all the stuff. Maybe I did this, maybe I did that, and I didn't do anything. But I would start to imagine, maybe I did. What was happening there? Just as in the natural, and I can work in the warehouse, pick up this farm equipment, and get dirty, in the natural, in the spirit as well. You know, we're spiritual beings. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Okay? I'm a spirit. Your spirit, just by the natural course of our life, can pick up stuff in its journey, right?
That's right.
And you can be in certain areas. If you're really, walking with the Lord and attuned to Him, I can go into certain, there's certain areas, there's certain places I'll even go to in the Westerly, for example. And you can go in there and I can just discern and pick up when I go in. And you learn as you go in, okay, I'm going in and it's not my heart to pick up whatever's there. But I'm going in, Lord, cover myself in the blood of Jesus. I carry the presence of God. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And sometimes when you go into places, if we're open up stuff, there's some spiritual dirt that can get on us, whether I've done something bad or not. Amen? And it's important when you do that to cleanse yourself. Wash afterwards, wash yourself in the water of the Word of God. Get into the Word. Listen to His voice. But I would also add to that, it's a daily thing, so I do it before and during times like that as well. Amen. And I'll go into places and I'll say, you know what? I know where I'm going to. Every time I go, I get the same vibe. And so I'll say, Lord, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to worship. I'm going to be aware of who I am. And I carry your presence into this place. And the atmosphere changes here because I come here and I carry the Lord with me. Okay? One of the dangers we have it can be a tendency to say as believers, I'm just going to sit in the sidelines and not even engage with any of that stuff. It's like a boat. If I buy a boat, the scripture says the wicked are like the raging seas. You can look through there. So the Bible talks about that. If I buy a boat and I keep it on land all the time, it's not any good. If I put the boat on the water, I'm in the midst of the water, yet I'm riding above it. I'm not sinking. I'm riding above it. I'm living. The boat operates on a different plane, right? But I'm still in it. Is this making sense to anyone? Mm-hmm. I'm riding on the boat. I'm in there. Not to keep it to the side. It's important that we don't run from the culture we're called to influence and engage. But as we do that, it's also important. Sometimes when you come, I was talking about this with you, Brad, that one time. And we can be in environments and situations, and you can pick up spiritual dirt. Okay? And it's important in those situations to wash yourself and be clean. And so it might not necessarily be, oh man, I've done something wrong. I'm called to go in there and put on and wash myself, just as the priest did there. Wash myself in the Word of God. Wash myself and hear His voice as I go in. When I go home, I was speaking with someone one time. They actually said that in ministry, they had this called a cleansing prayer they would pray. After every time they would go do ministry, they did a lot of altar ministry. And they said it was amazing the kind of stuff you could just pick up. And they could leave feeling unsettled just from being around certain people. And so they would just go and be like a cleansing prayer. And just to spend time with the Lord. Lord, just, if anything I've picked up, Lord, just cleanse me and wash me, okay? Is that good for anybody?
Amen.
It was good for me. I used to get really confused about it. Because I thought, Lord, what in the world have I done? And I would rack my brain and I didn't know. And it was just the matter of fact, I needed to come and just wash myself in His presence.
Amen.
Just be with Him again and again. The cleanest I ever feel in my spirit is when I'm in the presence of the Lord. If I'm ever in a situation, this is just a practical tip for some of us, and I feel unease, restlessness in here in my spirit, anxiousness, I kid you not, to solve it. Every time I just go present myself to God, I worship Him, I open the Bible, I'll turn to the book of Psalms, I'll read through Psalms, I'll pray, and I'll come out a different person. Kid you not. And so it's a practical thing to do. What is that I'm doing? I'm washing myself in the Word. He speaks to me through His Word. He speaks to me through His Spirit. I worship Him, I commune with Him, and I'm clean. Amen? I never lost my salvation. I never did this, I never did that. But I'm just cleaning myself again. Lord, picked up some stuff today. Let me just take a bath in your presence, in your water. Who is the living water? It's Jesus. So I wash myself. Jesus, just fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. More of yourself. Wash me, cleanse me. Okay? That's a practical, simple thing to do as we go out. Okay? Let me move to the next thing that I have. I actually, at the end, I have, and I've never ever done this anywhere I've ever spoken before. I have a 3-minute clip I'm going to play of someone who's just speaking who we are in Christ because I want to do that. It's actually Sharon played a prayer on Tuesday. The Graham Cook thing she played. And then she played it and I was sitting back there and it was doing something in me. I couldn't keep up with all he was saying, but man, it was empowering. So the blood cleanses us. And let me just read. I did not read a chapter. Let me read a chapter to you real quick just to show a biblical principle of this. And you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 through 8, and it talks about Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, And he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing the lawless deeds. So here we have in Scripture even what I just said. Our Lot was a righteous man and was tormented by their filthy deeds. And so we can be around that. It doesn't mean that we run from it and we escape it and we just try to get away from everything. No, I'm called to engage it, but I'm also called to use wisdom and Amen. To wash myself and cleanse myself before, during, and after everywhere I go. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. First, Exodus chapter 38, verse 8, and I mentioned that previously. It says, He made the laver of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle. What happened when they made this laver that's up on the screen? It was the water. If I look in water, there's a reflection. But they actually, remember when they plundered the Egyptians? We talked about that after they left. They took the mirrors, the glasses, the looking glasses, they would call them, and they made the base of the laver out of the looking glasses. So when you would look in, what would you see? You'd get a reflection of yourself, right? And so if I would come in, if the laver's here, and there's water and a looking glass, and I would go in and look to wash myself, it's a pretty cool invention. I would just look and cleanse myself, my hands, my feet, and there's I can see the reflection of who I am, right? All right. 2 points I want to make. First of all, the Word of God is a corrective mechanism in our life. Okay? The Word of God says who I am. I think it does more say who I am than who I'm not. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. And so it's important that I read the Scriptures and I see, I might not be living here, but this is who you've called me to be. Obvious, my father-in-law pastored in Rockville, Maryland for a while, and lovely area, great part of the country. I really like it there by D.C. We were married there. And he had a girl in his church. There's a lot of different nationalities, a lot of different people there. And there's a lady in his church from France he was telling me about. She was French. And in her culture, she'd been saved for maybe a year or two. But in her culture, to have an affair was no big deal. Okay, it was not uncommon. Hey, I'm going to have affairs with several different people over the course of my marriage. And so she was doing that, not thinking anything was wrong with it, because that was what she was taught by her culture. She went and met with my father-in-law, and he took her to the Word of God. And she was shocked to see that that does not line up with the character of Christ. Amen. Sin actually means missing the mark. Mark, actually there's a word for mark in the Greeks, kerygma, it's character. It means I fall short of the character of Christ. She was missing the mark. She had no clue. She came from a culture where multiple partners is okay. And then she came and saw the Word of God. What did the Word of God do to her? She looked in the laver. This is what the Word says. And she was shocked. Wow. Okay. I have to conform my life to the Word of God, right?
Amen.
I cannot keep living with what culture dictates to me. I have to live on a different air and a different plane. That's a really like glaring example of what that is. That also works for us as well. I was talking to Bobson this morning before class. The kingdom of God, we spoke about that. I receive by giving. We don't often think that way, right? I'm going to get, hoard. I'm made humble. That he who humbles himself will be exalted. We don't often think that way. We were sharing about that some this morning, Bob. We try to elevate ourselves and do things. The greatest among you shall be the servant of all. There's mindsets and mentalities we have that might not be as glaring as I can have multiple affairs and do different things. But there's other mindsets and lifestyles we have that are taught from us. See, we're often taught things from an early age when we begin to gather and take on identities that are contrary to what the Word of God says and who the Word of God says that we are. Okay? And I can have these things. It's good to do this. It's good to do this. The labor, it's important that I know the Word of God. Is anyone here familiar with Paul Kane? Yes? No? Okay. He's fell into something later in his life. He's actually a very well-known prophet. And he said people would come to him all over for conferences and say, Paul, give me a word. Give me a prophetic word. He was actually used by the CIA in their paranormal division, a guy named Paul Kane, because he was so sharp in the spirit. And he would always say, if you want a word, he said, bring me your Bible. It's been sitting in there the whole time. I'm all for personal prophecies. I love that. I love the prophetic. But I have to know this word, and what God's speaking to me has to line up with this word. Or I'm into pure chaos. Okay? And it's not enough just to get. Everything I have, everything I hear, everything I see from the Lord has to line up with who and what He says I am. Because we start to gather identities, pick up things, who you say I am, what I am. And let me say this too. The Word of God. God can use you while He's still working on you. Do you remember Peter? Peter's shadow is healing people. And then he told the Lord gave him the vision about the Gentiles. And he says, Lord, no, I've never touched any unclean. I won't do it. The Lord says, no, you're not. The water can flow through us. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, right? Spirit of God, the Word. I have to fill myself with Him and His Word. But the water can flow and still cut at the same time. Okay? It can flow out and still cut. Greatest news of all, God can use me while He's working on me. But I have to give Him something to work with. I'm constantly conformed to the image of Christ, right? I'm growing from glory to strength, from faith to faith. I'm constantly moving forward, and God's working on me in the process, but I have to daily cleanse myself. I learn stuff all the time in the Scriptures. Lord, my life's not... There's been a lot, honestly, lately. Lord, I was thinking this way, but Your Word's teaching me this. I have to align myself with You and put myself in a path with You. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, there's the word mirror again, it's in James as well, the glory of the Lord are being transformed to the same image from glory to glory just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As I gaze into Him, as I gaze into His Word, I begin to see who He's actually called me to be. And I shift and I transform and I become who He says I am. Amen?
Amen.
It's an important process that we do. I'm going to wrap up with something here in a minute. I'm going to have Bill play. Graham Cook is sharing who we are in Christ, and he does it very, very well. I've mentioned this before. All of us, including myself, when you're younger, even now, people put stuff on you that's not the Lord. Okay? I remember when I was in school, I had a teacher who was just mean as a snake to me for some reason. And to this day, as an adult, I don't know why. Kids will be, even if you have the greatest parents in the world, people will put stuff on you. You know, sometimes Anna will cut up and Owen will say, you're mean, Anna. I say, no, she's not a mean. I say, Anna, you're a good girl. You're not acting nice right now, but you're a good girl. It's important that I don't start putting an identity on someone that doesn't line up with who God says that they are. And so often we're put on things, well, you're this, you're that. And subconsciously, it starts to become a part of who I am. Remember, whatever I consume, you are what you eat, they say. Whatever I start consuming on, it starts coming out. Well, James, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're other years. And it becomes part of, you know, well, I'm just this, I am this, I am this. That's why it's important to say what the Word of God says that you are. Who the Word of God says that you are. And that I can start living, you know, at the cross. God dealt with your past redemptively. And He's always calling you forward prophetically in what you can be. Amen. That's where a decision comes in and the responsibility comes in. My past is dealt with. And He says, you know what, Clay, you're not what that teacher said you are. You're not what this person said. You're not what that person said, whoever it may be. This is who you are as a new creation. Sometimes our greatest challenge is not so much putting behind our past as it is walking into our future and being who He said He's called us to be. And so I say, okay, I am in Christ Jesus. I am righteous in Christ, holy in Christ, and I'm beloved in Christ. I'm valuable, a mighty warrior in Christ. I love the story of Gideon. Remember in Judges, Lord, he's afraid of the Lord. And the angel says, you mighty man of valor. That's why he's telling the Lord, I'm afraid. God always speaks to your purpose prophetically. But He gives you an option. Goes back to responsibility. They had a daily responsibility to wash themselves. He can pour that in you all day till you're blue in the face. If I never read and meditate on it, remember we spoke about meditation a few months ago? And I take it and I chew it. And like I said, I should lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I go to bed. Oh, I start thinking. It becomes a part of my DNA. It becomes me being who God said that I am. Okay? And so it's important. One thing I never want to do and never want to be guilty of is just constantly telling people who they're not. Your old man has already been crucified and taken to the cross. The challenge is developing the new man that God said that you are. Okay? So, Bill, I want you to play something. It's a guy named Graham Cook, and what he does, he talks about your state and your standing. And he just rattles off a bunch of things who God says you are in Christ Jesus. Just take a look at this. It's about 3 minutes.
Standing is that you're a new creation. You're a people for his possession. You're a royal priesthood. You're alive to God. All grace abounds towards you. All sufficiency is in you through him. You're anointed in the apple of God's eye. As he is, so are we in this earth. You're baptized into one spirit. You're baptized into Christ and his death. You're being perfected. You are the beloved. You are blameless. You're blessed. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings. You've got bold access to the throne of God. You're as bold as a lion because you're born again. You're part of the bride. You're buried with Christ in his death. You can do all things in Christ. You're chosen. You're a chosen generation. Christ indwells you with all his fullness. You're a co-heir with Christ. You're created for good works. You're curse-free. You're dead to sin. You're dead with Christ. You're declared holy. You're a disciple. You're elect. You're enriched. Everything works in your favor. You're enriched in all knowledge. You're faithful. You're a fellow citizen. You're free. You're free from sin. He's freely given you all things. You're a friend of Christ. You're fruitful. You're gifted. You're given all things. You're the habitation of God. You have the mind of Christ. He's at work in you. He is for you, not against you. You're healed. You're hidden in Christ. You're highly favored. You are his body. You are his fullness. You are his possession. You are his workmanship. You are a holy nation. You're a holy priesthood. You're increasing in the knowledge of God. You're inseparable from the love of God. You're a jewel in his eye. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're justified. The kingdom of God is within you. You're a king, you're a priest, you're a ruler. You're known by him. You're lacking in nothing. You're the light of the world. You're living by faith. You live by God's word. You're a living stone. You're made in his image. You're made rich in everything. You're more than a conqueror. You're a new creation. You're a sound mind. You are ordained. You are a different people. You're the people of God. You're the pillars of God. You are prepared for good works. You are protected, purified, raised with Christ in resurrection life. You are redeemed. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You're a royal priesthood. You're a saint. You're the salt of the earth. You're sanctified. You're saved. You're sealed. You're seated with him in heavenly places. You're a servant of God. You share his authority. You're the sheep of his pasture. You're a shining star. You're a son of God. You're a son of light. You're a steward of the mysteries. You're strengthened by him. You are the elect of God. You are the friends of God. You are the fullness of life and godliness. All belong to you. You are the righteousness of God. You are the temple of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are transformed. You're a vessel of glory. You're a vessel of honor. You walk by faith. You walk in newness of life. You are a warrior. You are the wise. You are witnesses. And you are absolutely worthy of the Lord.
Amen. That's good stuff. I thought he would do that much better than I did. That's awesome. When I listened to that the first time, it was just filling in my heart. What if we meditated on this every single day?
Amen.
Who I am. I might start doing that, just playing that. Every day I meditate on that. I'm not a victim, I'm the victor. I'm not defeated, I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
I'm not sick, I am the healed.
Amen.
I'm not dead, I'm prosperous. I am who he says that I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm beloved. I'm holy and righteous in him. Remember when we spoke in Ephesians, it says you are his masterpiece. It actually means you are his poem. Can you imagine that? The Lord looks at your life from the foundation of the earth and says, James Chapman is my masterpiece. Anne agrees. I write myself upon him. And I give him his own unique DNA. I pour myself into him. You know, we're all representatives. Not one of us has everything in Christ, but we all have a part of who and what he is. So God writes everything on him. And see how God sees him in his eyes as a son of God. Royal priesthood. New creation. His masterpiece. His beloved. His ambassador in the earth. And we start to think, what does that put on you? That's your identity in Christ. For far too long, we beat people up with everything that you're not. I'd rather tell you who you are. Okay? If you're off in an area in your life, like I said, the Lord can still use you. The water flows and it also cuts. The Lord will make adjustments as you look to His Word. Okay? But it's important that the adjustments He makes says, no. Just like my daughter. I'll say, you're mean. I say, no. She might be acting mean, but she's not a mean girl. She's my daughter. She's a good girl. She's acting mean. She's a good girl. You speak that into her life. The Lord does that to you. I'm mean. No. I might be acting like it right now, but it's not who I am. And so as a son and daughter of God, I say, when I slip, you know, the Lord forgives me, but that's me operating as a character of who I am. That's not really who I am. So I don't make a mistake, slip up and do something. Oh, well, you know, that's just who I am. I've been doing. No. That's not who I am. I am this. And I put that behind me. And I'm pressing forward to be who God's called me to be. Identity. I said this a couple weeks ago. Look in the earth right now. There's the greatest, really cool revelation here. David Wagner said that one time. That when you look into the earth, a lot of times the enemy tries to distract us from what he's actually doing, what the Lord's doing, from things in the earth. And so we're having a lot of problems with identity right now, if you look. And I believe, because that's something the Lord's speaking to His church and to His body. If you look throughout the body of Christ, a lot of people, what He's saying today is identity. Who you are, who you are, who you are. Because we've lived with a false sense of who we are for years as a church. And He's speaking to your identity. And once we pick up that as new covenant believers, I honestly believe it's going to be an amazing thing, because we have to know who we are to do what He's called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Let me read a passage to you in closing. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. If you're familiar with it. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding to you today shall be on your heart." The word of God, washing the water of the word. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, Jesus said. "The word shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." That's sound advice for anybody. What is this saying, basically, in essence? I'm going to find what the Lord says about who I am in Him, who He's called me to be. I'm going to speak it to my sons and my daughters. Whether that's a natural son, daughter, or a spiritual son and daughter, no matter whoever it is. I'm going to pour it in others. I'm going to meditate on it each day. God is a good God, and He's called us to a good thing. I am who I am. I'm a blessed man because of God. God gives me life abundantly. And as believers, we are to live like that. No matter what circumstance I am, wherever I am blessed and highly, what's Kevin say? Blessed and highly favored. Every time I ask Kevin how he's doing, blessed and highly favored. Amen. Probably doesn't matter how he's feeling at the moment. That is who he is. He's blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Every place I go, everywhere I am, I should start doing that back to you, Kevin. I'm blessed and highly favored. I am a son of God. I am this, I am that. Everything that God says that I am, I have to chew on that, eat on that, and become sons and daughters of who He is. That's what the labor is. When we talk about, you can have great sanctification messages, washing the water of the Word of God. I didn't even get to James. There's a cool section in James about that. Maybe I'll do that some other time. But as I look to Him, as I look to the mirror, as I look to the Word of God, I'm changed and conformed by His Word. By who He is, what He speaks to me in His Word, through His Spirit that lines up with His Word. And let me say this in closing. We were talking about this with Bob as well. God speaks to me all the time. Okay? I read the Scriptures and He also speaks to me if I'm driving in the car, if I'm doing this or I'm doing that. He always speaks to me. God still speaks today.
Amen.
But it's important to understand that He does speak. It has to line up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Even if I'm giving a prophetic word to somebody, there's certain guidelines. It should be judged, exhort, edify, and comfort, I think, is the other one. Okay? So you can say, well, the Lord spoke to me, James, you're a scoundrel. I have to know the scripture. That's not the Lord, right?
Amen. That's not him.
Okay? And it should be judged. I'm honoring the word this morning, the washing of the water of the word of God. He speaks to me, but it all lines up with his standard of who he is in the earth and what he is and your identity of who you are. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord's speaking identity to a lot of us in this house. He was doing it in prayer Tuesday. Aaron had a word about it a few weeks ago, and it really struck home to what the Lord's saying. The day of being bowed down and hunched over and defeated, it's not, and all of us, you know, I've had places in my life where I've been, woe is me, haven't we all? But it's important that I understand, as Graham Cook was saying, it's not necessarily my state, it's my standing of who I am. And I stand on the word, I stand on who he says I am in Christ Jesus. My identity is fixed, my identity is set on who I already am. And I have the privilege and the responsibility of constantly discovering who and what I am and walking in that glorious path. Amen?
Amen.
So Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in hearts and lives here, Father. Lord, for identity that you're speaking to us, Lord. Lord, for who we are. Lord, you've truly done more in us, Father. You've accomplished more than I even know. Lord, our life is a constant journey of discovering the wonders of your person, Jesus. Spend eternity upon eternity, Lord, exploring and discovering who you are, the wonders of you, Jesus, and who we are as partners in unison with you, Father, as ambassadors of you in this earth. And so I just thank you for what you're doing. I bless you. We honor you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys be blessed. There's snacks downstairs. Come to prayer if you can this Tuesday. Amen.